So good evening and welcome to the Town of Daniel Council meeting, sorry. Hope you all had a good holiday and good new year, and it's good to see all of you here tonight. This is Monday, January 5th, 2026 at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Wasatch County Service Building. Conference Room B, 55 South, 500 East, Heber City, Utah. We'll go ahead and get started with agenda item number one, which is public comment. If there's any public comment, please come to the podium, state your name. It's easier for us to keep minutes and record of that, and go ahead and have at it. Okay, no comment. We'll go ahead and go to agenda item number two, which is the swearing in of the mayor and the new council members. And the way we're going to do that tonight is I'll go first, then we'll do the council members. So, I, Scott Kohler, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this state, and that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity. And this will be as of January 5th, 2026.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yep.
Just the first one or the other.
I, Brooke Rose, do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this state, and that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity. Dated the 5th of January, 2026.
I, Stephanie Grady, do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this state, and that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity, dated this 5th day of January, 2026.
I, Eric Bennett, do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this state, and that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity, dated this 5th day of January, 2026.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Let's go ahead and go right to agenda item number three, which is the hearing for the home at 487 Cobble Creek Lane regarding nightly rentals. And so we're going to turn the time over to you guys and just come up the podium. And
so received the letter from the city. Appreciate you sending that notice. During that time, we mentioned that we had the opportunity to be represented by council. We would like to take that. We have retained council. We tried to make the schedules work. I was able to make it here today from California. The council that we retain, his name is Mark Wagner. He's someone that has familiarity with Heber Valley and someone that can help us. He's asked me to ask the council today if we could get a continuance so that he can be here to represent us. I couldn't get him to be here today. The one thing that I do want to say is, you know, our intent is to comply with all of this, you guys. Obviously, there are some things that we would object to in the letter, but we think it's probably smart to have our council represent us and meet with you guys to help come up with a clear path that we can make sure we're following all the rules and regulations. So my request here is if we can get a continuance and I can have him here with us to help us represent us, it'd be appreciated. Even maybe meeting with you guys even prior to another hearing that's possible, but that's a request. I mean, it took a while with the holidays. If I was gone, he was gone, and, you know, it just scheduled. I couldn't get him here tonight. I spoke to him multiple times this week. I was hoping he was going to be here by our side. It just couldn't work, but he did make a commitment that if I had a little more notice, he'd make it work. Next one is available, or even prior to that, if you guys be willing to have, you know, be willing to reach out privately, have a meeting with you guys, either one, we can be available. This was just a little short-term notice for me to get here. Session during the holiday.
Next council meeting next month would be fine.
Sure. Yeah, we could commit to that. Yeah, absolutely.
I'd be okay with it if you agree to keeping all the rules in the meantime.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's our intent to do so. I mean, there's some questions that we have that we want to make sure we're, me obviously being an absentee owner and use of the property, some things that have come up that I just want to make sure that we're on the same page with you guys. But probably better to have him there with us as we kind of discuss those to make sure that we're following the rules that you guys want us to obviously follow.
So you're agreeing to no short-term rentals in the next month until we meet?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm fine with the continuance.
Okay, so we'll, in order to do that, if there's no other comments, we'll go ahead and call for a motion then.
I'd make a motion that we continue the hearing on the 48, 487 Cobble Creek Lane regarding the night of rentals to the next meeting, which would be in February, and the date on that would
February
be
2nd.
February 2nd. Okay. In this meeting, play.
Okay, I'll call for a second.
I think we should add the stipulation to it, to the motion.
Okay. So add the stipulation. The
stipulation that you will comply with no nightly rentals for that period of time.
Okay, I'll call for a second.
Second.
Call for a vote. We'll start down on the far end with Gary.
Yes.
Bennett, yes.
Stephanie, or Grady, yes.
Rose, yes.
Kohler, yes. Okay, appreciate you guys being here tonight. We'll continue it to the next agenda.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. Okay, let's go to agenda item number 4, which is the Planning Commission summary from December 17th. And let me get to that, and I'll go ahead and read that real quickly. So this is a report that comes from the Planning Commission to the Daniel Town Council.
Excuse me, sir. Sorry.
And this is says, Mayor and Council members, at our meeting on December 17th, 2025, the following occurred. Brian Myers has added a third parcel, parcel number 20-4492, to his request for a zone change from RA5 to commercial. The added parcels bring the acreage of the three parcels to more than 5 acres, and extends from Highway 40 all the way down to Little Sweden Road. The Planning Commission has decided to delay scheduling a public hearing so that Mr. Myers has an opportunity to discover more information regarding the parcels. Agenda item number 2, Jamie Aguirre's application for an accessory building at his property on Daniel Road was approved. Number 3, Jared Howland has requested a boundary change for Staker Parsons' property on the southeast border of the town of town with Independence. The Planning Commission has asked that he bring additional information before they make a recommendation to the council. Approval from the adjacent landowner in Daniel and approval from the Independence Town Council is also necessary. Agenda item number 4, the Planning Commission was informed of the results of the Board of Appeals hearing held on December 10th, 2025. Melanie North / Megan Phillips appeal for a lot of record determination for property on Little Sweden Road was denied. A second hearing for Geneva Rock Products requesting a change in the conditional use permit granted to property desiring to install a concrete batch plant in the industrial zone was also held. The Board of Appeals has denied their request for an increase in the decibel limit, but the parcel number and legal description will be adjusted as requested by the applicant. And so, for the council's information, that's what occurred in the December Planning Commission meeting. And so, I'll just ask, is there any questions about any of that from the council members? Okay. Let's go to agenda item number 5 then, the Staker-Parsons boundary line agreement discussion. I don't see anybody here from Staker-Parsons, and so I've asked Eric to take a few minutes and kind of educate us on the Staker-Parsons boundary line agreement. Agenda item number 5.
Okay, so there's a map in your packet that shows the what they have. The fence is not on the property line. They want to adjust that line. The problem becomes that it's a town boundary between us and the town of Independence. So we're actually moving town lines with that. So it becomes a little complicated. We have to go back to the Lieutenant Governor's office with that, and they have to sign off on it. It's a big process. What we did, the Planning Commission sent him back to get, UDOT, the McMillans, whose property it is, and Independence. So we have a letter saying everybody's on board with that, because we have to sign that. You guys have to make a motion, and Scott has to sign that to change that. And so we've sent them back to get additional documentation. But just so you guys are up to speed, that's what's going on there, on that parcel. So it's up. This is next to the gravel pit, up the canyon on the east side.
How far is that adjusted? I can't tell.
So it's just down that one side between McMillan's and the.
Yeah. Do you know how many feet that it is?
I do not.
Okay.
Not right offhand. Because that's really small print, that legal description. Well, that's just certificate.
So, are you guys all aware of where this property is at?
So it's five. It's okay. About 1,200 feet. It looks like.
So you got Staker-Parsons gravel pit right in the mouth of the canyon. It runs the houses behind that goes up to Duke Lane. That's in the town of Daniel. So that's where that is. It's behind the McMillan's house. There's about four houses right there, and it's the field behind that where they're asking for this lot line adjustment.
But that doesn't tie into any property over on Duke Lane, does it?
I don't believe so.
No, this is just a boundary between McMillan.
Right. I thought I heard you say it's Duke Lane.
Well, I did say Duke Lane, but it's the road that runs up to Duke Lane. This isn't the boundary on that road. It's in the fields behind those houses.
So basically what this is the boundary on the west side of the road going up the gravel pit into the gravel pit area. Is that correct?
I would probably the north side, right?
East side of the road.
Well, yeah, on the east side of the road, but if you're going into the gravel pit, it would be on the boundary on the left-hand side.
Right.
Between McMillan's property and
yep,
the boundary
correct.
Of that road.
You're right.
Yeah, and we had those water lines in there. The town has water lines in there. We have some tanks in there with pumps that aren't the town's, they were the owners, but our water line and the utilities run over there, right through that area. So that's why we requested him to show the easements. You can see the easements on there. The irrigation company actually has some easements, so we made him show those on the map so that they're not conflicting. But it's pretty intense anyway. So just the map just brings you up to speed where we're at. You probably won't get to see that until the Planning Commission has been satisfied with the requirements they put on.
I did see a hand back here.
I was just wondering, what's the reason for the boundary line adjustment? Is it to give staker persons more property?
Yes.
Is there an acreage number on that?
There's not. The McMillan property is 10 acres, and so that'll drop them down below splittable acreage, because they won't have two fives. So that's why we made them go get the letter, because we're just like, are they sure they really want to do that?
Okay, thank you.
I don't know what they've been told, but if we get the letter, then we can move forward.
Okay, thank you.
So as far as we know, the town, McMillan's have not approached the town with any information saying that they do not want to agree with that lot line adjustment?
Mm-hmm. We haven't heard from them at all.
At all.
So are they aware of it?
According to the surveyor, yes. She said she had signed them. And so that's, we didn't go on his say-so, we want a letter that says so.
Sure.
So okay. That's where that's at. We're just looking for documentation. And sure. then you guys will have to decide if it's in the town's best interest. Because you still have a say also.
It'll go to the Planning Commission, then it'll come to the Council.
Correct.
So we might see it in a month or two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have a recommendation.
So acreage-wise, we're probably looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 acres?
I think one and a little bit.
Oh, okay.
It's 1,200 feet, but it goes from 26 to nothing, so it's kind of a weird. It's just, they just put the fence there, and they can't decide. Staker Parsons thinks that should be the line. McMillan's, according to them, doesn't care. They don't care if that fence is the line.
So did you say that there had already been a letter from the county on that?
Not from the county.
Not from the county? Okay.
No, because the county's out of it now, because Independence Town and Daniel Town share that common border. So the county still has to sign off on that. That was another signature we had to go to get, because Jim Kaiserman, county, when we made the town, you remember he made us close those gaps that were 2 inches wide, and this will be obviously adjusting Independence and our border. So it has a lot of moving parts to it.
Okay. Any other questions? Any other comments? Okay. Let's go to agenda item number 6, which is renewals of business licenses, and I'm just going to read through these. You guys have this on your agenda, and I'll let you know as I read through this. So, Computer Nerds, Inc., the name of the applicant is Chris Anderson. His physical address is 890 East Little Sweden Road, Heber City, Utah. The nature of his business is computers, and we've had no complaints. We have Wes's Auto Repair, Wes Sweat. His address is 425 East 3000 South, Heber City, Utah. Car repair service, and no complaints on him either. We have the next one is Holzer Performance, Chris Holzer. Physical address, 2887 South Mill Road, Daniel, Utah. Mailing address is 1996 South Cruz Court, Heber, 84032. He does auto repair and paint. No complaints on him. Tender Touch Massage, Kendra Giles. Physical address, 2120 Little Sweden Road. Mailing address is the same. She does massage therapy. Jill Bonner's the name of the applicant. 20 East Little Sweden Road, Heber City, Utah, 84032. She has a little hairstyling shop in her home. Spence Transportation, Spence Christensen, I believe. 4825 South Haven Estates Drive. He has a transportation service. No complaints on him. Coleman Trucking Company. Melanie Coleman, 3225 South Mill Road, trucking company. No complaints there also. We have Cayune LLC, Tyson Mumford. His address is 3500 South Highway 40, Suite A, Daniel, Utah, 84032. He does blueprints, and we have no complaints on him. And so all of these come with a recommendation from the Planning Commission to go ahead and renew. So if you don't have any questions, I'll call for a motion.
I make a motion to renew the business licenses for the Computer Nerds, Wes's Auto Repair, Holzer Performance, Tender French Massage, Jill's Hair Styling, Spikes Verification, Coleman Trucking, and Kyrie Engineering.
Call for a second.
Second.
Okay, call for a vote.
Bolton, yes.
Brady, yes.
Rose, yes.
Kohler, yes. Okay. Agenda item number 7. I'm going to ask that we continue this. So I'm going to call for a motion to continue to next month because we don't have everybody available yet for the Planning Commission seats. And so, call for a motion.
Motion to continue the resolution 2026-0105 regarding the Danieltown Planning Commission members for your term.
Second it.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Bolton, yes.
Yes.
Brady, yes.
Rose, yes.
Kohler, yes. Let's go to agenda item number 8, which is council reports. And Gary, we'll start down there with you and work our way this way.
I thought Dave was going to be here tonight, but I don't have anything other than what he might have had going on with the water, so I don't have anything.
Okay. Eric?
Nothing, Mayor.
Okay. Stephanie?
Well, I just thought it was a little interesting. Maybe, Eric, you might want to get ready for a complaint, but I pulled this off of 3000 South on one of the pledge walls, and it just says, clean up after your horses. We do it for our dogs, so learn some respect and start packing a grocery bag. Horses are not exempt. So all my kids riding their horses, people are getting upset walking down the road. I've
been up my road lately.
I mean, the kids just ride their, I mean, yeah. So anyway.
Where was that posted?
It was on 3000 South, oh, right off of Ranch Drive. I helped myself to it.
Wow. You're putting it back, right?
Or yes. Putting it in a grocery bag?
Yes. Because it was going to end up in my field anyway.
Four tires at 35 miles an hour, take care of that.
Anyway, I just thought it was kind of amazing. It's coming.
I'll be waiting.
Yeah.
Anything else, Steph?
No.
Thank you for that. Brooke?
Nothing tonight.
Okay. And I have nothing for this evening also. And so let's go to agenda item number 9, which is the planning report and update, which in your packet in front of you, you can see everything that we know of that's going on in the town of Daniel. And As you read through that and as you look through that, if you have any questions, Eric would be more than willing to answer any questions. And if there are no questions, then I'm going to turn a little bit of time over to Eric to to discuss a couple of items. Okay, Eric.
Okay. I'm glad you're all sworn in. You almost lost them.
Close.
Good catch.
That was close.
We can change it to that. Too. Just tell her when we're done.
We've had a couple of complaints, and this is a report that I was asked to look into it and substantiate. That's all right. Yeah. Sure enough, huh? Okay. So that's one of the complaints. The complaints are in your packet, so you're able to read the complaint. And then that is a report that I put together off of that complaint after doing an investigation. So we had two complaints from Mr. Stewart. This is the second one. So there was a complaint about access onto Little Sweden Road, and both me and Mary have looked at the minutes. We can't find anything that states that at all. He had two accesses in the original application on Little Sweden. He voluntarily gave up one of those accesses and added an access off of Highway 40. So he went to UDOT, got the permits, and they have an access off of 40. So I can't find anything in the minutes or the recordings that are available that tells us there's any restriction at all about accessing that property. And in fact, commercial requires two accesses for fire access.
There's a difference between access where people are going in and out 50 times a day or just a fire lane kind of access.
There is.
I don't remember. Well, you guys looked it up. I don't remember granting them access to use that for continuous traffic on Little Sweden.
Right. I don't think we did grant them access. Like, they had access. That was a property, right? That was their only access when he applied.
Right.
So he had to go to UDOT and get another access. And so that was the access he had. It's the same thing we have down on the Rowdy piece too. Remember, we had that discussion about them roads coming in. They have the right to access Little Sweden Road from their properties. That's their access. So that's a property right that they have.
But the access to the commercial part of that property was different. That was going to be emergency only kind of access, I believe.
That was the restriction that they put on.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was their restriction they put on. He has full access.
So we never did that with Nico then?
No. In fact, I don't think he did that with Mark. I think he just said that. I think he has a whole access all the way back. I don't believe that that's restricted at all.
Is that on my property?
Left of the property off of Little Sweden?
Yeah, I think it was discussed, but I don't think there was ever anything put on the easement or the paperwork that would restrict that access into that property of Rowdy's.
But it could be put on a conditional use permit later.
Yes. Yeah.
So commercial access can be used from Little Sweden from a residential road?
Yes. Well, we don't say residential road. It's a minor collector. Right. And so there's no delineation of a residential road versus a If it's a road built to the town of Daniel standards, then it's a town road.
Okay.
just plain and simple. There's no residential classification. And so if you own property and we made a zone change up to that road, they have access. Where we have, where there's been some talk going back and forth about accessing industrial through a residential zone. And so that's through property, that's not on a road. If there was a road going down through there, they would have access.
So, like where mine is just my driveway, this would be a different situation than what is happening.
Right.
Nightville Road.
Right, yep. And so I thought there may be some questions, so I went on the property of Ombudsman site, and this will probably answer some of your questions, Harry. The court held, I should tell you who this is. This is Carpet Barn versus State of Utah. There, I remembered before looking. The court held that there's a right to compensation where the state's action, although not directly constituting a physical taking, substantially impaired the appellant's longstanding right to utilize their property for storefront parking that has caused them direct particular injury and consequent devaluation of their commercial property. So that went through the court. They said that they was entitled to money for the compensation of that property. And what happened was State of Utah came down and this is on Redwood Road, they put in a curb and they had access to their property and they didn't. They just put in the curb, they didn't have access, they took them to court. State of Utah lost. So it's a it's a right to your property, is what I'm saying. The courts have upheld that, it got appealed. This is from the Ombudsman website regarding right-of-ways.
I don't think it's the same. We're talking about accessing storefront parking.
Well, it's access to the building. It was his driveway too. That's where they access that. It's 3 pages long. You can read the whole thing.
So what do you recommend?
How wide is that driveway? Can I ask? Just
this one?
Not the one for Carpet Warehouse, but
Nico.
Yeah, for Nico.
For Nico?
Yeah.
I don't know how wide his driveway is on.
Okay.
Like I said, he had two of them, and I don't know that we specified how big it would be. Yeah, it's not as wide as his one on off of 40, which is his main entrance. I think that's his main entrance that faces the highway. That's what it was for. But the town has absolutely no right to tell him he can't use that or gate it off. That's illegal access.
Even though he promised us that would be the case.
I can't find it anywhere.
I know we talked about it. Okay.
Can't find it anywhere.
I remember hearing it too.
Yeah. Yeah, I know he said it and
so did Stuart Guy, that's his name?
Yeah, right? Jason.
So what I see there, I go by their things, what I see there is that he's bringing big equipment or big stuff that's to do with whoever renting the building in on that access off of Little Sweden Road, and it's getting stored on the west side of that property. That's what I see. But I don't know how you would ever could eliminate that. You can't stop him from doing that. I mean, it's his right to his access. At least that's what I think.
That's correct. And if you remember back, this was phase one of 3 phases on that property.
Yeah, I wasn't
sure. So there's still 3 phases to go on that property, 2 phases more to go on that property. So this was just the first phase.
And those are all approved already, the other phases?
They're not. They're not. Nope, this was just his first phase, and he wanted to break that into phases. So the other buildings are not approved. The zone change was approved. He had a lot of record on that property and he traded that for his zoning. He turned over that lot of record certificate to the town in response to changing his zoning for the entire parcel commercial.
But we did have deed restrictions on the back, correct?
On Nico?
Yeah, on how much could be used. Was that the one next door?
That was on the storage units.
To the north, okay.
Remember restrictions on access too, but we'd have to go look at me.
but it's not in writing anywhere.
And then the next one down, they have access, but it's not wide enough to ever use for commercial access.
The next one going west on Little Sweden.
What's that?
You're talking about the next property going west on Little Sweden, past the NICO building, west?
No, it's up on the highway.
Oh, okay, highway, okay.
Okay. And then the other complaint is about zoning.
About industrial use in a commercial zone.
What is he saying is the industrial use?
It's not clear. You have the complaint right there. I'm not going to read nothing into it.
I saw it.
But I did, I can't speak for him. I did include the code in your packet that allows those uses of everything that's going on at that place, so.
I mean, I could guess, because we knew those people were going to be putting pieces of modular homes out back.
Right, they build them inside and move them out back for shipping.
I'm guessing that's his complaint, but I don't know, because he didn't.
I don't know that either. We've had, he came and he made verbal complaints about the lighting, the noise, and a bunch of other things, but we don't have that. We have the written, two written complaints.
Yeah.
And so that's what I addressed.
They're very brief. Okay, thank you.
So in our town code, do we have anything that differentiates between the industrial zone and the commercial zone as far as access from the road? We don't have anything like that.
No. No, like I said, if we build a road to Town of Daniel standards,
yeah.
If you own property on that, you have access.
Yeah.
It's a public road. It's all tax money funded by the public.
Any other questions about the complaints and where we're at in the process of handling those? So just Brooke mentioned to me, and she could have brought this up, but I will. The Derek and Jen Gressman address, I think you have 1700 East Little Sweden Road on that. I believe it's 1800 East Little Sweden
Could be
Road.
Eight right next to seven, so.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, that would probably be right across the street from me. And
if I remember the wooden sign that's on the telephone post right there, too, I believe it says 1800 South.
Could have happened. Eight is right there next to
but
seven.
That's all right. But she brought that out. I think it's good to correct that and change that.
All right.
On the planning report.
Do you want to address, is that it for Jason?
Yeah.
Do you want to address Melanie?
Yeah. Do we have a, I don't know that.
I didn't include that. I'm sorry.
So I'll address Melanie's complaint with possibly a little bit of help from Eric and Gary as we discuss this. I think it warrants us talking a little bit about this because she has sent a complaint to the Town of Daniel that had about 10 items on it.
I think I can find it. Just give me a minute.
I may end up having Megan read that real quickly, but in a nutshell, basically, she wanted to know how come there was a house built on.
I have happy reading.
So I'll go through this as briefly as possible. And it says, Daniel Mayor and Town Council, here are a few things that I would like the council to answer and address. There are properties that have been built on that don't meet the county or Daniel Town Code. Please explain why these properties were approved. The first one that she's talking about is Paul and Patricia Steiner. The address is 2987 South, 1200 East, Heber City, Utah. So y'all know where 3000 South is. Comes into Mill Road. The house that's sitting directly right there in front of you, that's the first one that she's talking about. Let's see. This property had a house that was torn down in the 1990s. It was a vacant lot when Daniel Township originated in 2006. In 2014, they were given a building permit by the town of Daniel. This property is 1 acre and has 8 rods of frontage, which calculates to 132 feet, not the 200 feet required. I'm going to read these and then we'll go back and address all of them. Roger and Janilyn Pearson, 312 Little Sweden Road, Heber City, Utah, 84032. This property had a house torn down and they built a new home. The property is 0.99 of an acre. Not sure of the frontage. Maybe we ought to discuss this as we go, then we're not having to come back. So, Eric, tell us just briefly about the Steiner property.
I don't mean to interrupt, but who wrote these complaints?
Melanie North wrote these complaints and wants the town to address them.
Right.
And based on some of this stuff with, I want to know which ones you guys want me to address, because some of these we may not be able to address. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because of privacy or whatever else.
Yeah. That's the quandary. You guys have to decide what you want me to investigate. And so, as our privacy person, there's a lot of private information on there that I don't think is any of the, I don't think it can be released to the public, a lot of the information that this is talking about.
Before we go further, can I just say one thing?
Sure.
And I'm happy to make her happy, but I don't feel like we have a responsibility to explain what other councils and mayors did prior to us. We didn't do it. Whatever the decision was, they felt like it was right, I assume, and I don't think we need to go back and say they made a right or wrong decision.
That's why we're having this conversation tonight, because...
So that's before we even get through them, that's my opinion. Yeah. So let's go.
Well, and it's like I said to Eric and Mary and Megan the other day, I'm more than happy to have... Melanie come into the town office and I'll sit right there in the office with her and I'll address the ones that I feel like or that we feel like we can address and the ones that we shouldn't address.
She's just trying to make it look like we treated her unfairly.
Correct.
That's all.
And so we read the Pearson one. We talked, the next one is the Lazenby home that's on 3580 South Mill Road. That's the one right on the corner where Mill Road ties into Little Sweden Road. It's the little gray house. Used to be Earl Jacklin's house. Now it's the Lazenby's house. Let's see. Then she addresses the properties colored orange on the map and titled Unable to Determine. Most of these have homes. They have no front. They have no frontage. It is not a subdivision. They have 0.84 to 1.25 acres. Why were they approved for building? I would like to know what degree Eric Bunker has to be the Danieltown planner. Where did he get his degree and what's his field of expertise? At the council meeting, there have been many properties changed from residential to commercial. Do these properties pay commercial property tax? If not, why do they have to meet the commercial codes? If the town of Daniel only allows single family dwellings, why isn't anything being done to uphold that? Months ago, I heard a neighbor tell the board about the house located at 1185 East 3000 South, Heber City, Utah, owned by Mildred Molina. There are two RVs on the property being lived in, along with many sheds being occupied. There is an outhouse, bathroom facilities. There are so many people occupying this property that it is hard to count. Usually 10 to 20 cars that, and more on the weekends. They have now put a modular home on the west property that seems to have people in it as well. Is there a permit for the second house to be on the property? The fencing is illegal. It is too tall for a corner and too solid. with the tarp she has on the fencing to not allow anyone to see in. Visibility at this intersection is poor with this fencing not being up to code. We all know that's the little yellow house on the end of 3000 South and Mill Road, and we are taking, we have taken steps on that. The house on 2530 South Heber Road, Heber City, 80032, has many cars parked in front and many occupants. This is the property that wants to be changed to industrial. That's the little house on Daniel Road, Hatco property. And then you can read that Sasha, the one about Sasha Seuss. Has a business license and a kennel license for BYOP, bring your own pet, a boarding and grooming facility in her home. She also advertises Wolves of the Wasatch. Does she have a license for the business too? I personally am tired of the wolves getting loose. They ran the horse in my field through the fence and caused a horrific injury. They were loose on my driveway, then went to the field to chase the two other horses. They have also been at Blair and Vicky Smith's property and their rights. One killed Ed Sabies' llama, and he shot and killed the one on the Anderson property. The other adult wolf attacked a dog being walked by its owner in the middle of Little Sweden Road in front of my property a little over a month ago. They have been loose many times, and on my property there needs to be some kind of protection for the neighbors. I have many small grandchildren and dogs that need to be protected. So this is the list of complaints that she sent to the town of Daniel. Obviously, I wanted to have this discussion to see which ones were we ought to address or we think we ought to address. I like what...
Most of those, Scott, I've already answered on that paper.
Yep, you can see Eric's notes out to the side.
But I just don't know. We're spending a lot of time doing this, and that's what I said. I'm glad you guys already sworn in. So... Don't get up and leave. But how much time do you really want to spend on complaints that clearly are false allegations? I mean, some of these are just flat false allegations. I've had that before. Roger and Janelyn Pearson's house was an addition.
And I can verify that. I've been in the home. It's really cool.
Yeah, it was an addition. It was never torn down. We had the same thing. She said the call property, there's people living in there. I go out and there's no power, there's no water, there's no power even at the pole.
Yeah, but there's a whole bunch of cars around that house.
Not the Call's house.
The Call house?
The Call's are up on Little Sweden in the backfield.
No, Little Sweden.
But that's under investigation right now, isn't it?
Yep.
2000 in the road.
Yeah, we've sent legal papers to that on 3000 South.
That's already been investigated.
Yep.
But it's just when we get these complaints, it's taking up a lot of time to go out there and address things that, like I said, I don't even know if we can even. And I just refer to Mary. What exactly can we get into before we get into trouble?
I do like Eric Bennett's comment about, you know, I mean, the town council and the previous councils had made determinations on that. I mean, how much time do we really want to spend going back and trying to, well, you know?
Yeah, and then that's the taxing. We don't have anything to do with taxing. The county decides what tax they're buying the property.
Right.
We don't get to decide what that use is. A lot of people don't know that you're taxed on your use. You're not taxed on zoning. They don't care what you're zoned. If they come out, you're running a commercial operation, you get taxed at commercial. And so it's the same thing. If you're in commercial zone, you have a house, you get taxed at residential. That's not up to the town, though. The county does that. But I think a lot of people don't know that. But how much time do you spend answering these kind of questions? 5 minutes? Okay.
I didn't say that out loud.
Okay, I'm done.
I'd be concerned about wolves running around.
I would
check into that one.
Sure wouldn't be anything the town would do, though. If there's wolves running around causing problems.
Is that a county?
That's legal.
That's state,
you
probably.
You call the sheriff.
I mean, he has a state permit.
That's a state permit from Doug Seuss.
And so it's just like,
yeah,
so.
I know animal control was called at one point, and they were told that they do not service Daniel and did not respond. That was just a neighbor that was walking their dog that had mentioned that in passing. And so since we do not, I guess we don't pay for
animal control.
Animal control, that they're not willing to come out and.
So they're under obligation, if it's a state code that's broke, they're under obligation to respond. They're not coming out to do animal control, but they have to respond. They're under obligation. This town pays taxes into their budget. They're under obligation per the state to respond. So they have to respond. So if it's an animal control issue, they don't have to respond. We're not part of that group. We don't want to be part of that group. They have different ideas about what animal control is.
Sure.
How many chickens you can have, things like that just don't apply out here. But if there's something going on that's criminal, they are obligated to respond.
And dangerous.
And maybe that wasn't shared with them.
They have to respond. To
yeah, right, that's the same thing. It's a vicious animal and they have to respond.
Okay.
They're obligated to respond, so that's not an option for them.
Yeah.
Years ago, I had dogs come in and kill my rabbits, and the sheriff came and took care of that.
Yeah. I can tell you that he showed up at my house and wrote me a ticket for dog at park, and it took me quite a bit of money and a lot of time in court to go through there before I finally proved that we don't have animal control in our town. So, on a personal note.
I can sympathize with Gary because that happened in my house too. So.
Did it?
Yeah. Lady was walking the stroller and her dog down the road, and my dog didn't leave the property. But barked at her, scared her. And she called that animal control. Well, and it went on from there. So,
did you get a ticket?
My dog was behind on the rabies shot. So if I got it, brought the shots up, then I lost it.
And licensed it in Heber?
No. Tried to sell me a license. I said, I don't live in Heber.
Oh.
And so.
That was what they tried to tell me. If you get.
Right.
My dog's shots were up, but. They said, if you get go get a license in Heber, and I said, absolutely, I'm not paying taxes to Heber City when my dog doesn't go to Heber City.
Exactly what I told them. But they didn't know that. You know, their animal control officer, evidently, I think, was doing what he thought was right. And he did not know that.
Yeah, well, this is a sheriff that came out.
Yeah, this was just a,
yeah.
Okay, so we'll just bring this back around to the question of, how do you want me to address this situation?
I feel you can only beat a dead horse.
Go ahead. So long. From what knowledge I know and what other councils did and lots of records that's come up on different pieces that she's quoted here and trying to talk about, I see nothing here that deems any further investigation.
Good. So if I basically, if the town notifies her that we don't see anything here that we need to address, we're good with that. In a letter to her, or I have no problem making a phone call to her and explaining that.
I would do a phone call.
I would too. I would
make it less official.
Okay.
I would not. I would do it in writing. She gave you a writing in a complaint.
Okay.
I would follow up. So you followed up. We have a paper trail.
Okay.
That's just me.
Yep.
That's why we have this conversation. Paper trails are good. Mary's smiling that and giving me the nod of the head, which tells me. Okay. Nope. Anything else on this?
Well, it's going to come up again. We get complaints, and it's like, how far do we go before there's something substantiated that, I mean, the things we've worked on, we've sent letters, we've got legal involved. If it's substantiated, but I mean that's a lot.
Well, you know, we've over the years, for the last almost 20 years now, that we've had some legal battles that have dealt with some types of things similar to what she's talking about. But there's nothing in this complaint that I see that shows where there's any justification that the town or previous town council has done anything wrong that wasn't legal for the town.
No,
and a couple of those issues was prior to, which it would have dealt with the county itself.
Right, right. Yeah, and the one, you know, the one that she's talking about, they had a lot of record certificate. That's up to the council if you guys decide to honor that certificate. You're under no obligation to honor that certificate. It was issued by the county. But if you decide they have that lot of record certificate and you decide to honor that, then that's why you're a legislative board. Can I mention I'm glad you're already sworn in?
Okay, very good. We'll wrap up agenda item number 8 or 9, and we'll go to the Storm Haven and Daniel Water System. And I wasn't able to get a hold of Dave and ask him to be here tonight. He will be here moving forward, and so I'll ask Gary to just report briefly on the two water systems, if you will, what you know.
As far as I know, everything's going pretty good. We have had a couple of things have come up trying to find water meters that people have purposely, or they've covered their water meter and we can't find. We still have one in Storm Haven that he said he would uncover it. I drove by there the other day and it's not been uncovered yet. Dave's aware of that. Another one was down on the Ritchie subdivision down there. We found that, located that.
That's the Karen property.
Yeah.
Brady and yep. Brady Karen.
Yep, yep. I told you about that.
Yep.
So I found that.
Yep.
And it was about 6 inches buried.
It's just right on the edge of the driveway there. Yeah.
Lucky, what got me was the fact that he had a picture of his daughter down inside the meter can. And I thought, no, what's going on there? So I don't know if they actually, you know, something's happened. If they actually went out there and tried to, you know, tie into that at some point in time. But anyway, it all looked good from what I could tell.
Most of the meters are reading. We're still reading meters.
Yeah,
and we're still waiting for the new reader. We're still using the one that they've donated to us until we get the new one. But we have ordered that, and we're expecting it shortly.
I thought that it would have been here last month. But
yeah, well, with the holidays and everything, might have got.
But
we'll do a follow up on that and make sure where we're at.
I did check with her on this last reading, December.
Okay.
She normally calls me if there's anything wrong.
Right.
And I didn't call. I didn't call her yet, so
yeah.
I'm sure it's okay.
I've talked to her a couple times, so. But things are well there, so. Any questions from the council on that item? Okay, let's go to agenda item number 11, which is warrants, announcements, and the second quarter budget update. I'm just going to turn the time over to Megan for a few minutes, and if you guys have questions or concerns after she gets done, feel free to ask them.
Okay. The warrants are in front of you, so let me know if you have any questions. We did receive a bill from Blue Stakes this afternoon for $66.28, so with your approval, I will add that and get that paid this month. And then there's the budget, the second quarter budget update. Did anyone have any questions on that?
I do, but...
Okay. I don't know if I can answer him, but you're welcome to ask it.
It would be inappropriate to just talk about it after the meeting, because I think it's just the way it's accounted. I don't think there's anything wrong.
Okay. Yeah, we can go over it for sure. On the table by the sign-in sheet, there is a survey with a QR code. So if everybody in this room can at least fill that survey out. It is in regards to the general plan that we're working on with, who's the company again? I can't remember. Do you remember?
We're trying to update the general plan, and I can't remember the name of the company that is helping us do that. Gary, do you?
Okay.
I know that we've met with them a couple of times, and we helped put this question and answer questionnaire together, and it's on the website, like Megan said, and Megan was telling me tonight that we've had about 50 people respond to it right now, and
I think we ought to leave it up for another couple of weeks, and as you guys get around town and talk to people and your friends and that, if you'll let them know that we are trying to gather information to update the town of Daniel general plan, and they can just scan that QR code, and I think the survey took about 7 minutes, if I remember right, when I took it a week or two ago, and it's pretty easy, it's pretty self-explanatory. You log on to it, you answer your questions, doesn't ask for a signature or a name, or I think at the end it did ask for a good email address, and obviously you can leave that off if you want to, or put it on, doesn't matter. But
it's posted on the town website too, if you want to direct people there.
Yep. That's probably the best place to access it. That's where I accessed it, was on the town website. So if I can do it, most people do.
Mayor, would you be okay with me maybe posting that to the town Facebook page?
That'd be great. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
I can do that tonight.
Okay.
Perfect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also on the table, there is a little booklet that someone put together. It's a history of Daniel. So there is interest in circulating it. If someone's interested in getting a copy, we can look at pricing that and getting it to people who might want something like that. So it's on the table to look at.
Just a little history of the town of Daniel.
Who wrote it?
It's in the front. I might want to say Larry Ward, but go look at the front of the book because I can't remember.
Yeah. Could we also post it as a PDF so people can just download it and print their own if they wanted to?
Possibly. That copy's not mine, so
okay.
I'd have to just ask.
That's a
if
good suggestion,
though,
mm-hmm. is creating a PDF of it and just putting it onto the website. And
mm-hmm.
then if somebody wanted it, they could download that themselves and print it themselves.
Yeah,
that's a great suggestion.
If they wanted a copy, they could download it.
Yeah.
Okay. I can look into that.
Tell us what's wrong with it.
Okay. Any other questions for Megan?
I have one more.
Oh, sorry.
It's not. I almost forgot. We are still looking to hire an assistant for me. Mary and Lynn are so awesome to fill in when I need it, but they would like to step away. So it would be about 10 hours a week covering the office one day a week maybe, and then taking over the planning commission meetings, taking minutes in that. So if anyone knows of anyone who's interested in a part-time job, that's all.
Can I ask, do we have a law saying that you cannot have somebody in living in a trailer outside your house?
Yes.
There's maximum amount of days. I think it's 22, something like
20,
that.
20 days, calendar year.
Yeah.
So
could you please put that on Melanie's? And don't tell her where you got it. No. I was informed that that's her point to be her next thing she does. So, I'm just saying.
Well, that's why we live in the town in the United States of America, and people can just about do what they want until somebody says, "No." Everybody takes a court of law.
Well, that's true. I knew her husband well.
Good man.
I just need approval on the warrant.
Yeah. So are there any questions on the warrant? Okay, I'll call for a motion then.
I make a motion to approve the December 2025 warrants presented January 5th, 2026.
Second.
Call for a vote.
Bolden, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Grady, yes.
Rose, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Stephanie, can I add that blue steak bill to your motion that we're going to add onto
yes.
the warrant? Okay.
With the addition of the blue steaks warrant for 6628,
mm-hmm.
is that what it was?
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Let's go to agenda item number 12, which is the approval of the council minutes for December 1st, 2025. Copy of those in front of you. And when you're ready, I'll call for a motion.
How does that work if it was just Gary here as part of the council because Eric was gone?
We just read the minutes and approve them. the way I look at it.
The other ones aren't coming back.
You're the new council. They're not coming back. So you browse through them and you decide whether they...
We can all sit down and go through the recording. See
if you
want
to.
Or
you
That's the good thing about having a new council. You get to look through that and say, yep, I think they did what they should have.
Your minutes are very good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. They're very good.
Make a motion that we approve the minutes to Daniel town meeting December 1st, 2025.
Second.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Grady, yes.
Rose, yes.
Kohler, yes. Call for, we're not going to go into closed session tonight, so I'll call for a motion on agenda item number 14.
Adjourn the meeting.
Call for a second.
Second.
Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Grady, yes.
Rose, yes.
Kohler, yes. Thank all of you.